was crestfallen. As I opened my mouth to tell her we hadn't heard from him, Dad spoke up.
He called this morning.
I stood there stunned.
Oh? He's hoping to come home soon, but he said there were some complications, though he was a little too flustered to explain what they were. He told me to tell you he loves you.
I'd hoped those words were for me, but Dad was looking directly at Mom when he spoke.
I want my son,
Mom said, her voice cracking.
I know, darling. Soon.
Dad rubbed Mom's hand.
Mama?
Austin came into the room, his face showing that he was barely containing his excitement. Caden was sniffling, holding himself upright as if he thought himself above crying.
Hi there.
Mom managed to pull up a big smile for them, and when Austin bent down and hugged her, she made a pained face but didn't let out a sound.
We've been very good,
he promised. Mom smiled.
We'll stop that immediately.
We laughed.
Hi, Mom.
Caden kissed her cheek, looking afraid to touch her just yet. She raised her hand to cup his face. She seemed to grow stronger each second simply from seeing us. I wondered what she'd have done if Aaron was here. Jump out of the bed.
I wanted you to know that I'm okay.
Her chest rose and fell aggressively, but her smile didn't falter.
I think I can go back upstairs tomorrow.
Dad nodded quickly.
Yes, if we get through today without incident, your mother can recuperate in her room.
That's really good.
Caden's voice lifted at this news.
So, you're halfway back to normal.
I didn't want to kill the hope in his eyes, or Austin's. Caden was typically so clever, seeing around every pretense. But there was no mistaking how hard he was willing this to be true.
Exactly, Mom said.
Okay, everyone,
Dad said.
Now that you've seen Mom, I want you to get back to your studies. We still have a country to run.
Edlin gave us the day off,
Austin protested. I smiled guiltily. When we'd gotten out of bed this morning, that was my only order. I needed them to play. Mom laughed, a weak but beautiful sound.
Such a generous queen.
Not queen yet, I protested, thankful that the true queen still lived and spoke and smiled.
All the same,
Dad said.
Your mother needs rest. I'll make sure you see her again before bedtime.
That mollified the boys and they left, waving to Mom. I kissed her head.
I love you.
My girl.
Her weak fingers touched my hair.
I love you.
Those words were the first bookend of my day, and I could get through the rest of it knowing Kyle Woodwork would be the other. As I left the hospital wing, I came across another Woodwork.
Miss Marley? I asked.
She looked up from the bench she was sitting on, wringing a handkerchief in her hands, her face blotchy from crying.
Are you okay?
She smiled.
More than okay. I was so afraid she might not come back, and I honestly don't know what I'd do without her. Being here with your mom has been my whole life.
I sat down, hugging my mother's dearest friend, and she held on to me as if I was her own daughter. Part of me felt sad, because I knew she wasn't being dramatic when she said that. One look at her scarred palms told the long story of how she'd gone from worthy competitor to wicked traitor to faithful lady. When they talked about the past, some details were glossed over, and I never pushed it because it wasn't my place. But I worried that sometimes Miss Marley felt like my parents' pardon was still contingent on her and her husband paying it back in devotion.
They said that you and your brothers were visiting, and I want to see her, but I didn't want to cut off your time.
Did you see the boys leave? We're all done now. You should hurry in before she falls back asleep. I know she'd want to see you. She wiped her cheeks again.
How do I look?
I laughed. Positively wretched. I squeezed her. Go on in there. And can you try to check on them for me from time to time? I know I won't be able to come down here as often as I'd like.
Don't you worry. I'll send updates as often as I can.
Thank you, Miss Marley. After one last hug, she made her way into the hospital wing. I sighed, trying to let myself enjoy this brief moment of calm. At least for now, everything was on its way to being better. Chapter 6. Kyle held his hand against the small of my back, walking me through the garden. The moon was low and full, casting shadows even in the night.
You were spectacular this morning, he said, shaking his head. We've all been worried about your mom, and it's so strange not having Aaron around. And Caden, I've never seen him look so bewildered.
It's awful. He's the stable one.
Don't worry too much. It makes sense that he'd be a little shaken right now.
I inched even closer to Kyle. I know. It's just hard to see it happen to someone who never gets shaken.
Which is why breakfast was so great. I thought we were going to suffer through a painful meal together, unable to talk about what was happening or even talk at all. Then you just opened it up. It was remarkable. Don't forget you have that skill.
He shook his finger at me. What skill? Distraction? I laughed.
No.
He wrestled with the words.
More like the means to alleviate. I mean, you've done it before. At parties or on reports. You change momentum. Not everyone can do that.
We walked to the edge of the garden, where the land opened up to a wide, flat space before the forest started. Thanks. That means a lot. I've been worried.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's bigger than Mom, though. I stopped and put my hands on my hips, wondering how much I should tell him. Aaron left me a letter. Did you know that the people are displeased with the monarchy? Specifically me? And now I'm basically in charge, and honestly, I'm not sure if they'll stand for it. I already had food thrown at me once. I've read so many awful articles about myself. What if they come after me?
What if they do?
He joked.
It's not like there aren't other options. We could become a dictatorship. That'd put people in line. There's a federal republic, a constitutional monarchy. Oh, maybe a theocracy. We could give everything over to the church.
Kyle, I'm serious. What if they depose me? He cradled my face in his hands.
Edlin, that's not going to happen.
But it has before. That's how my grandparents died. People came into their home and killed them. And everyone worshipped my grandmother. I could feel the tears rising. Oh, I'd been such a weepy mess the last couple of days. I wiped them away, fumbling over his fingers in the process.
Listen to me. That was a pocket of radicals. They're gone now, and the people out there are too busy trying to live their lives to spend time messing with yours.
I can't bank on that, I whispered. There were things I was always sure of, and almost all of that has fallen apart in the last few weeks.
Do you?
He paused as he gazed into my eyes.
Do you need to not think right now?
I swallowed, processing the offer. Here, with just the two of us in the dark, quiet evening, it felt so similar to the night of our first kiss. Only this time, there'd be no one watching, no one to print it in a newspaper. Our parents were nowhere in sight, and the guards weren't trailing our steps. For me, it meant that for just one moment, there was nothing to keep me from having what I wanted.
I'd do anything you asked me to, Edlin,
he whispered. I shook my head. But I can't ask.
He squinted.
Why not? Did I do something wrong?
No, you idiot, I said, pulling away. Apparently, I huffed, it seems you did something right. I can't just kiss you like it's nothing, because it turns out that you're not nothing. I stared at the ground, growing increasingly irritated. This is all your fault, by the way, I accused, glaring at him as I paced. I was fine not liking you. I was fine not liking anyone. I covered my face. And now, I'm in the middle of this thing and so lost I can hardly think straight. But I know that you matter and I don't know what to do about it. When I gathered enough courage to look up at him again, he was smirking. Oh, for goodness sake, don't look so smug.
Sorry, he said, still smiling.
Do you know how scary it is for me to say all that? He bridged the gap between us.
Probably as scary as it is for me to hear it.
I'm serious, Kyle.
So am I. First of all, it's strange to think about what it all means. Because you come with a title and a throne and a whole life planned out for you. That's insane for me to try and take in. And second of all, more than anyone here, I know that you hold your cards close to your chest. Confession like that must be practically painful for you.
I nodded. Not that I'm mad that I like you, except that I kind of am. He laughed.
It is rather infuriating.
But I need to know now, before we go any further, do you feel anything like that for me? Even the smallest glimmer of something? Because if not, I have to make plans.
And if I do?
I lifted my arms and let them flop down to my sides again. Then I still have to make plans, but they'll be different. He sighed heavily.
Turns out you matter to me too. And I wouldn't have thought about it except for my designs lately.
How romantic? He laughed.
No, really, it kind of is. Usually I get excited about designing skyscrapers and homeless shelters, things that someone might remember or might help people. Though the other day, I found myself designing you a summer house, a miniature palace, maybe something with a vineyard. This morning I got an idea for a beach house.
I gasped. I've always wanted a beach house.
Not that we'd ever get to use it with you running the world and all.
It's a sweet thought all the same. He shrugged.
It just seems like everything I want to make lately is something for you.
That means a lot. I know how important your work is to you.
It's not really my work. Something that I care about is all.
Okay, then. How about for now we just add this to that pile? This is something we care about, and we both know it, and we'll watch it and see what happens.
That's fair. I don't want to discourage you at all, but it feels too soon to call this love.
Absolutely, I agreed. It's too soon, and that's too big.
Too busy.
Too scary, he laughed.
On par with being dethroned?
At least.
Wow, okay.
He continued to smile, probably considering the unlikelihood of us falling for each other himself.
So, what now?
I continue the selection, I think. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I have to keep going. I have to be certain. He nodded.
I wouldn't want you if you weren't.
Thank you, sir. We stood there, the sound of the wind and the grass the only noise. He cleared his throat.
I think we need food.
As long as I don't have to cook it. He threw his arm around my shoulder as we turned back to the palace. It felt like a very boyfriendish thing to do.
But we did so great last time.
All I learned about was butter.
Then you know everything.
In the morning, I headed straight down to the hospital wing, desperate to see Mom's face. Even if she was asleep, I just needed to be reminded she was alive and healing. But when I cracked open the door this time, she was sitting up, wide awake, and Dad was asleep. Smiling, she held up a finger to her lips. With her other hand, she traced gentle lines through his hair as he lay spilled out of his chair and onto her bed, one arm beneath his head and the other across her lap. I quietly walked to the other side of the bed to kiss her cheek. "I keep waking up in the night," she whispered, giving me a little squeeze. "All these tubes and things are bothering me, and every time he's awake, watching me, it does me good to see him sleep."
"Me too. He's been looking a little rough." She smiled.
"Meh, I've seen him worse. He'll make it through this too."
"Have the doctors checked on you yet?"
She shook her head. "I asked them to come again once he's rested a little. I'll get back to my room soon enough." Of course. Of course the woman who just had a heart attack could spare getting herself to a more comfortable place so her husband could take a nap. Seriously, even if I did find someone, could it ever compare to them? "How are you doing? Is everyone being helpful?"
Mom continued to run her hand through Dad's hair. "I fired Codley. I don't think I told you yesterday." She stilled, staring intently.
"What? Why?"
"Oh, no big deal. He just wanted to go to war." She covered her mouth, trying not to laugh at how cavalierly I discussed invasion. A second later, she stopped smiling at all and moved both of her hands to her chest.
"Mom?"
I asked too loudly. Dad's head instantly shot up.
"Darling, what's wrong?"
Mom shook her head.
"It's just the stitches. I'm fine."
Dad settled back into his seat but sat up, done with sleep for the moment. Mom tried to start up the conversation again, doing anything to take the focus off herself.
"How about the selection? How are things going there?"
I paused. Okay, I think. I haven't had a lot of time to spend with the boys, but I'm going to work on that, especially since there's a report coming up."
"You know, honey, no one would fault you for calling it off. You've been through a lot this last week, and you're acting as regent. I'm not sure you should be trying to balance all this."
"They are very nice boys," Dad offered. "But if it's taking too much of your focus."
I sighed. "I think we need to stop dancing around the fact that I am not the most beloved member of this family, at least not to the general public. You say no one would fault me, but I feel very confident they would." Mom and Dad shared a look, seeming to want to refute this, but not wanting to lie at the same time. "If I'm going to be queen one day, I need to win the people over."
"And do you think finding a husband is the way to accomplish that?"
Mom asked suspiciously.
"Yes, it's all about their perception of me. They think I'm too cold. The most absolute way to refute that would be to get married. They think I'm too masculine. The most absolute way to refute that is to be a bride."
"I don't know. I'm still very hesitant about you continuing."
"Need I remind you that this selection was your idea?"
She sighed.
"Listen to your daughter," Dad said. "Very smart girl. Gets it from me."
"Don't you want some more sleep?" she asked flatly.
"No, I'm feeling very refreshed," he said.
I wasn't sure if it was because he wanted to continue the conversation or if he felt he needed to keep his attention on Mom. Either way, he was clearly lying.
"Dad, you look like death punched you in the face."
"You must get that from me, too."
"Dad!"
He laughed and Mom did, too, her hand going back to put pressure on her chest.
Look, your terrible jokes are now life-threatening. You have to stop them. He shared a smile with Mom.
Go do what you need to do, Edlin. We will support you in whatever way we can.
Thank you. Both of you. Please get some rest.
Ugh, she's so bossy,
Mom lamented. Dad nodded.
I know. Who does she think she is?
I looked back at them one last time. Dad gave me a wink. No matter who was against me today, at least I had them. I left them and strode upstairs to the office, shocked to find a beautiful bouquet of flowers on my desk.
Someone thinks you're doing a good job, huh?
Nina remarked.
Or they think I'll die from the stress and wanted to beat everyone to the punch,
I joked, not sure I wanted to admit how happily surprised I was.
Lighten up, you've been doing great.
But Nina's eyes weren't even on me. They had zoomed in on the card. I tucked it close to my chest as she whined and lifted the note just enough so I could read it. You looked a little down when we parted the other day. Wanted today to start on a happier note. I'm here for you. Merid. I smiled and passed it to Nina, who sighed before turning back to look at the huge bouquet.
Who are those from?
General Ledger asked, coming in the door.
Merid Ilya, I replied.
I heard he stopped by. Was he just bringing gifts, or did he need something?
The general asked, skepticism painting his tone.
Oddly enough, he was making sure I didn't need something. He offered to give me a helping hand with the public. He knows a lot more about people living their lives in the wake of the casts than I do.
General Ledger joined me beside the table and stared at the extravagant arrangement.
I don't know. Things didn't exactly end well between your family and his.
I remember vividly, but it might be a good thing to learn a little now for when my time comes. The general smiled at me, his face softening.
It's already here, Your Highness. Be careful who you trust, okay?
Yes, sir. Nina was still acting swoony.
Someone needs to tell Mark to step up. I just got a huge promotion. Where are my flowers?
Maybe he's planning to deliver them in person. Much more romantic, I said.
Psh, the way that boy works,
she said skeptically.
If everyone in the palace died and I somehow became queen, he probably still couldn't get time off. He's always so busy.
Though she was trying to joke, I could sense her sadness. But he loves it, right?
Oh, yes. He likes his research. It's just hard that he's so busy and that he's far away.
I didn't know what else to say on the subject, so I turned the conversation back to my gift.
They're a bit much, though, don't you think?
I think they're perfect. I shook my head. Either way, these should probably be moved somewhere else.
Don't you want to look at them?
Nina questioned, even as she went to grab the vase.
No. I need the desk space.
She shrugged and carefully lifted the arrangement to take it into the parlor. I sat down at the desk, trying to concentrate. I had to focus if I was going to win my people over, and that was what I had to do. Aaron had said so.
Wait!
My voice was a little louder than I intended, and Nina started.
Put them back where they were.
She made a face at me, but brought them back all the same.
What made you change your mind?
I looked up at the bouquet and ran my fingers across a few of the low-hanging petals.
I just remembered I could lead and still like flowers.
Chapter 7
By the time dinner rolled around, I was very concerned that I might fall asleep on my plate. There was a chance no one would mind if I skipped it. Meals had generally been quiet, unless I worked to make them otherwise. But when I came downstairs and saw Grandma Singer flinging her bag at a butler, I knew tonight was going to be anything but dull.
Don't you tell me I can't come at such an hour.
She shook her wrinkled fist, and I bit my lips to hold in the laughter.
I wasn't, ma'am,
the guard replied, his voice anxious.
I just said it was getting late in the day.
The queen will want to see me.
Grandma Singer was a fearsome creature. If we ever did have a war under my rule, my plan was to send her to the front lines.
She'd come home holding the enemy by his ear within a week.
I walked into the foyer. Grandma? She instantly turned from the guard, her face melting into the sweetest expression.
Oh, there's my precious girl. The TV doesn't do you justice. You're so lovely.
I bent so she could kiss me on both cheeks.
Thanks,
I think.
Where is your mother? I've been wanting to come over, but May insisted I stay out of the way.
She's doing much better now. I can take you to her, but wouldn't you like to eat first and recover from your trip? I gestured toward the dining hall. Grandma had lived in the palace when I was younger, but after years of Mom trying to take care of her, she finally up and left. Her long journey was really only an hour across town, but it might as well be from the other side of Ilia for how she behaved about it.
Now, that would be wonderful, she said, coming beside me. See, that's how you treat your elders. There's some respect.
Her eyes darted back to the poor guard, who stood there stupefied with her bag in his hands. Thank you, Officer Farrow. Please take that to the guest suite on the third floor overlooking the gardens. He bowed and left as we made our way into the room. A few of the boys were already waiting, and their eyebrows raised at the sight of the Queen Mother. Fox strode up immediately to introduce himself.
Miss Singer, such a pleasure to meet you, he said, extending his hand.
Now, he's a cute one, Edie. Look at this face.
Grandma grabbed his chin and he laughed through her grip.
Yes, Grandma, I know. Part of why he's still here.
I mouthed an apology, but Fox shook his head, positively beaming over her approval. Gunner, Hale, and Henry all came over to meet her, and I took the chance to speak quietly to Eric.
Are you busy tomorrow?
He squinted.
I don't think so, why?
Just planning a little something with Henry.
Oh,
he said, shaking his head as if that should have been obvious.
No, we'll both be free.
Okay. Don't tell, I insisted.
Of course not.
What? Grandma shouted. Say that again.
Eric hopped over, bowing.
So sorry, ma'am. Sir Henry was born in Swendway and only speaks Finnish. I'm his translator. He says he's very pleased to meet you.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
Grandma took Henry's hand.
It's nice to meet you, too.
I moved her toward the head table. He's not deaf, Grandma.
Well,
she said, as if that was enough of an explanation.
Have you talked to Uncle Jared?
Jared wants to be here, but he's working on a time-sensitive project. You know I never understand a word he says.
Grandma waved her arm in the air as if she was slapping away the elaborate words he used.
I heard from Coda, too. He's not sure if he should stop by or not. Your mother and him, they've tried over the years, but they just can't seem to be civil. He's gotten better, though. I think it's that wife of his.
I ushered her around the table and she took my seat. Even though it wasn't permanent, taking Dad's empty place next to her felt strange. So much had been entrusted to me, yet I felt like I'd stolen something of his. Aunt Leah does sound like a rather calming person, I agreed. I guess those things matter, balancing each other out. The butlers rushed some soup in front of Grandma, knowing how short her patience was. I smiled as she dug in.
Worked for your grandpa and me. Your parents, too.
Ignoring my own bowl, I rested my chin on my hand.
What was Grandpa like?
Good. Very good. He always wanted to do what was right. He was slower to get upset than I was and didn't let things get him down. I wish you could have known him.
Me too.
I let her eat and found my eyes wandering around the room. Kyle was my opposite in that he was humble where I was proud. Henry was my opposite in that he saw everything as a joy, where I focused on the challenge. Ian, Fox, Gunner, there was an element in each of them that would fall on the other side of my spectrum.
Is the French girl like that for Aaron?
Grandma asked, with no attempt to hide her disdain. I considered this. No, actually. It's like they're two halves of the same heart in different bodies. My eyes welled. I was so tired and I missed him so much. I can't begin to tell you how much he loves her. She grumbled.
Enough to leave.
I exhaled slowly. Exactly, Grandma. It hurt him so much to be apart from her, that he would endure the pain of leaving his family, his home, and his country, not even knowing how that would all be received just to be with her. She recognized the sadness in my voice and reached out her hand to mine.
You all right, honey?
I pulled myself together. Of course. A little tired is all. I should go rest. Just then, Caden and Austin came running in, giving me a perfect escape. The boys will take you to Mom, she shrieked in delight.
My boys!
I backed away while she was distracted, walking quietly down the side of the room until I got to Henry. I tapped him on his shoulder, and he looked up from his meal, that ever-present smile on his face.
Hello today,
I chuckled. Would you like to join me for lunch tomorrow? I waited for Eric to jump in, but Henry held up a hand, concentrating.
Tomorrow lunch, he asked.
Yes.
Good, good, yes.
I smiled. See you then. I left the room, peeking back to see Henry clutching Eric by the shoulder, elated by the invitation. He seemed so pleased to have made it through the interaction without needing a translation, too. Eric nodded at Henry, pleased for his friend, but I'd seen him smile brighter than that before. I looked at the clock. 10 after midnight. If I fell asleep right now, I could get about 5 hours of sleep. 10 minutes later, it was clear that wasn't going to happen. I used to be so good at shutting off my mind for the day. But now, it seemed like every task I was halfway through stayed with me until it was done, not caring if I was well rested enough to tackle it. I slipped on my robe, combed my fingers through my hair, and stepped barefoot into the hallway. Perhaps if I went to the office, I could do some work and appease my brain, and then I could get back to bed. But if I was going to do that, I needed coffee. It was too late for any maids to be on duty, so I headed to the kitchen. It seemed it was never empty down there, and I was sure someone would help me. Rounding the landing on the second floor, I leaped back, startled by the figure coming right at me.
Oh,
Eric said, suddenly realizing someone was in his path. I pulled my robe a little tighter, though I was fully covered, and swept back my hair, hoping to seem less surprised than I had been. He backed up, fidgeted with his hands a second, and then bowed abruptly. It was such a rushed, sloppy gesture that I couldn't help but laugh. He smiled a little himself, shaking his head at the silliness of the moment. He, too, was in his pajamas, striped blue pants and a plain cotton shirt, and wandering the palace in bare feet. What in the world are you doing up at this hour? I asked.
Henry has been working especially hard on his English since you announced the elite, and with a date tomorrow, he wanted to be extra prepared. We only quit for the day a few minutes ago, and I was heading to the kitchen for some tea and honey. Honey is supposed to make you sleep well.
He said all this in a low, hurried voice, as if he was worried he might bore me.
Is it? I might have to try that tomorrow. I was actually just going to the kitchen for coffee.
Your Highness, I feel you're a very bright woman, so it pains me to tell you that coffee will not help you sleep. Not at all.
I giggled. No, I know. I was going to get some work done. I haven't been sleeping, so I thought I might as well be useful.
I'm pretty sure you're always useful, even when you sleep.
I ducked my head, moving around the banister, and he followed me down the steps. All I could think of was how drab he had seemed that first day. A grayed-out shadow of a person. I knew now his plainness was his shield, hiding how smart, thoughtful, and funny he was. Though I still didn't understand the choice, I knew there was more to him than he let most people see.
How is Henry doing? With the English lessons?
He shrugged and tucked his hands behind his back.
Good. Not great. What I told you before is still very true. It would be a long time before you could communicate on your own. But he cares so much. He's been trying harder than ever.
He nodded to himself as if assessing their work in his head.
Forgive me, I should have asked. How are your parents? I heard your mother is awake and recovering.
She is, thank you. She was supposed to move back to her room today, but there was something funny about her oxygen levels, so they kept her in the hospital wing one more night for good measure. And Dad is still sleeping in a cot by her bed. Eric grinned.
It makes the idea of in sickness and in health much more real to see it play out in front of you.
I nodded. Honestly, sometimes it's intimidating to watch them. Finding anything close to what they have seems impossible. He smirked.
There's no way to know everything about someone else's relationship, even your parents. Sometimes especially your parents.
He added, as if he'd thought about this before, perhaps about his own family.
I guarantee you, he's given a terrible Christmas present at least once and has earned himself a day of silence for it.
Highly unlikely. Eric was unfazed.
You have to embrace the idea of imperfection, even in the thing that is most perfect for you. Your brother whisked away a girl and got married in a whirlwind, and could be discovering right now that she snores so loudly he can't even sleep.
I covered my mouth, but not fast enough to smother the laugh that escaped. Something about the image of poor Aaron with pillows slammed over his ears really got me.
It's very possible,
he added, looking quite pleased to have made me smile.
You've ruined my image of Camille. How am I supposed to keep a straight face the next time I see her?
Don't,
he said simply.
Just laugh. Your impression of everyone is probably wrong in some way.
Shaking my head, I sighed. I'm sure you're right, which makes everything I do that much harder.
Like the selection.
There are moments when a room full of politicians seems easier to manage than six boys. For everything I've learned so far, there must be a dozen things I've missed.
Relying heavily on gut instincts, then?
Very heavily.
Well, they've been spot on about Henry. He's as nice as he seems. You must have already known that, though, to keep him in the final pool.
I noticed something off about his tone as he spoke, like this was a disappointing thing to admit. I clasped my hands together, only just then realizing that we'd moved well past the kitchen. I supposed I could always go back for coffee if I still wanted a cup. This whole situation has been a hard one to navigate. I wasn't supposed to have a selection. In the past, princesses were married off for international relations, but my parents promised they'd never do that to me. So to find myself with a room full of boys and be expected to choose a lifelong partner from them, it's scary. All I have to go on are a handful of impressions and a hope that no one is deceiving me.
I risked a glance at him, and he was attentive, his expression downcast.
That sounds incredibly frightening,
he said slowly.
I'm surprised it's worked so well in the past. I don't want to sound rude, but it does seem a bit unfair.
I nodded. That's exactly what I said when the idea was presented to me. But they insisted that I try, so...
So, this wasn't your idea?
I froze.
Did you even want it to happen?
There's a chill that runs down your back when you realize you've been caught in a lie. And it was scary. Because this had already been hinted at in the papers, guessed at by plenty of people. Eric, this needs to stay between us, I said quietly, the words coming out more like a request than a command. I admit, in the beginning, I wanted nothing to do with this election, but now...
Now you're in love?
He asked, his tone both curious and melancholy. I laughed once. I'm a lot of things. Infatuated, frightened, desperate, hopeful. It'd be nice to add in love to the list. I thought of Kyle and our conversation in the garden. Love was still too big a word for that, and none of what I'd said to Kyle felt appropriate to share with Eric. Sometimes I think I'm close. But right now, the selection is something I need to finish. For a lot of reasons. A lot of people, too.
I certainly hope you're one of them.
I am, I promised. Just maybe not in the way people would think. He didn't answer. He merely walked along, taking in my words. You can't repeat any of that, not to anyone. I can't believe I said those things to you. If this selection seems like it was a joke or fake in any way... He held up a hand.
You don't have to worry about me. I'd never break your confidence. I assume it's not an easy thing to acquire in the first place, and I'd hate to waste it.
I smiled. Well, you more than earned it. You've kept secrets from me already, and pulled me out of the middle of a fight, and brought me a flower when you didn't have to.
It was only a dandelion.
Perspective, I reminded him, and he grinned at his words coming back to stare him in the face. All I'm saying is, you've done a lot for me without being under any obligation to do so. You've earned my trust.
Good,
he said plainly.
Because I'm here for you. Anything you need, anytime you need it.
The sincerity in his voice was so painfully clear that I was drawn to a standstill. Eric's eyes were clear and blue, a stark contrast to his dark hair. Maybe that was why they stood out so brilliantly in the moment. Really? I asked, though I had no reason to doubt his words.
Of course.
He replied.
You're going to be my sovereign. It's a privilege to serve you.
I cleared my throat. Yes, right. Thank you. It's a comfort knowing there are at least a handful of people I don't have to break my back to win over. His smile was kind, and I reminded myself that this was a victory, to have someone like him on my side. If you'll excuse me. I said, stepping away. I really ought to try to sleep. He bowed.
Of course. I know I'm meant to be at Henry's disposal, but please, let me know if there's anything else I can do to help you.
I smiled, not answering, and strode back to my room, my back as straight as an arrow. Chapter 8.
For the report tonight, the focus will be on you.
Lady Bryce was pacing in front of my desk. It was comforting to watch her elegant steps as she thought everything through. Dad was like that sometimes. He'd make me walk the garden with him while he was trying to unravel a mess. I know I don't have much experience doing this alone, but Gavril will be there to help, and I have an idea how to address my progress with the selection.
Good. It's about time you brought something to the table,
she teased.
Speaking of the selection, there's something else. I'm trying to decide if it's worth addressing.
I squinted. What's going on?
Well, she started. Merid Ilya was on another radio program yesterday. We have a recording if you'd like to hear it, but basically, it's gotten out that he's visited the palace and that he sent you flowers.
So?
So he was asked if that meant anything.
I stared at her. But I'm in the middle of a selection. How?
He said the same thing, but also said he regretted falling out of touch with you and how beautiful and intelligent you grew up to be.
She raised an eyebrow as I felt my insides flutter a little. He said that? She nodded.
Why are we bringing this up?
I tried to even my breaths.
You need to be aware that you two have been linked in the press, and it could do one of two things. Undermine your selection to the point that it seems you don't care about it, or...
How could it undermine it?
Well, if it seems like you're abandoning your suitors for him...
Got it. What's the second thing?
It could offer up another suitor, if you're not opposed.
I laughed.
I'm confident the rules of the selection are pretty binding. I don't think I could simply quit it for someone else. Could I?
She shrugged.
He's pretty popular. Are you advising me to consider him?
No.
I'm advising you to be aware that this has become public, and you need to be conscious of how you interact with him, and with the elite.
I can do that, especially since I've hardly interacted with him. I don't want to do anything that might undermine this process. I've already accidentally done that so many times. And I want the people to know this matters to me. I've done nothing to encourage Merid, and I don't think it's worth addressing on the report.
Agreed.
Good.
Only for me would a generous act of kindness be twisted into something scandalous. And, now don't take this the wrong way, but what are you wearing tonight?
I looked down at myself. I have no idea. I've hardly been able to dress myself. She studied my clothes.
This will seem like an insult, but trust me when I say that's not how it's intended. I think you need to step it up a little. While the clothes you've chosen or designed in the past have been beautiful, it's time we move on from playing with your fashion to using it as a means of backing up your words.
It felt like a stab to the gut. Thinking of undoing this image I'd made just for me and turning it into something for other people.
I get that. What are you thinking?
She crossed her arms, thinking.
You could borrow one of your mother's dresses.
I looked at the clock. If I go now, I can pick something. But Nina's the only one who could alter it quickly enough, and she needs to finish my schedule for next week, and I have a lunch date. She clasped her hands together.
Oh, seriously? As if it wasn't bad enough to have my grandmother tell Fox how cute he is.
Lady Bryce wrapped her arms around herself and laughed.
Did she really?
There's no stopping that woman. It must run in the family. Hurry,
go pick a dress.
Okay, send for Hale. I'm sure he's just as skilled as Nina, and I guess we'll find out how fast he is. And make a bullet point list for me tonight. I'm terrified I'm going to blank. I'm on it. I hurried into the hallway, hoping Mom hadn't been released from the hospital wing yet, because I was going to feel wholly awful if I bothered her by looking for a dress in her room. No more than two steps out the door, I saw Gunner waiting for me. He popped off the bench immediately and bowed.
Hi, is everything all right?
I asked, coming over.
Yeah, he said. Well, except that I'm probably about to do something so incredibly stupid that I can feel my heartbeat banging in my feet.
Oh, please don't. I've had enough stupid to last a lifetime.
He chuckled.
No, it's not like that. I wanted to ask you for something.
I raised my eyebrows, proceeding with caution. All right. You have 2 minutes. He gulped loudly.
Okay, wow. So, I'm really flattered that you kept me in the top 6. It made me feel like I did something right, though I'm still clueless as to what that was.
I shrugged. Your poem made me laugh. Laughter is important. He smiled.
I agree, but it kind of proves my point.
He fidgeted with his hands.
It's just this far in, with you so busy and with me never having had one-on-one time with you, I was wondering how good my chances are.
It's a fair question, but I can't really answer it right now. I have so much to figure out.
Exactly,
he replied enthusiastically.
So I'm gonna ask for something ridiculous. Could I kiss you?
I stepped back.
Excuse me? We don't have to do this if you don't want to, but I think a kiss can say a lot. I think one kiss would be enough for you to know if it's worth me pursuing you, or you pursuing me.
There was something sweet about his request. Like, even though a picture of me kissing Kyle had been plastered across the country, he still didn't think it was a given that I'd just go and kiss anyone. And that he'd learned enough from Jack's expulsion to move with care. That alone made me want to give him what he was asking for. But to do this, to potentially lose a final suitor without even trying to know him better, it felt foolish. You could be a prince. You could have more money than you knew what to do with. Be so famous, people who don't even have televisions would know your face. Are you willing to bet all of that on one kiss?
I'm willing to bet your happiness and mine on it.
I inhaled, thinking. Okay.
Yes?
Yes. Once the surprise wore off, Gunnar placed his hand on my waist. He lowered his face to mine, stopping momentarily to laugh.
This is a bit surreal.
I'm waiting, sir. He smiled just before our lips touched. There were plenty of good things about the kiss. His mouth wasn't rigid, and he didn't try to stick his tongue down my throat. He also smelled pretty good, though not like cinnamon or flowers or anything recognizable. Overall, I would say not bad. But then, the fact that I could make that assessment as it was going on... Gunnar pulled away, pressed his lips together, and considered. No, right? He shook his head.
I don't think so. Not that it was bad.
It just wasn't that good.
Exactly.
His stance shifted in relief.
Thank you so much for this experience, but I think it's time for me to head home.
I smiled. You sure? You're welcome to stay for the report. Go home in the morning?
Nah.
He smiled bashfully.
I think if I stayed, I'd try to talk myself back into it. You might be the most beautiful girl I'll ever meet, but I don't think you're the girl for me. I'd hate to find a reason why you could be when I've been trying to tell myself for a while that it was unlikely.
I held out my hand. I respect that. Best of luck to you, sir. Gunnar shook my hand.
And to you, Your Highness.
As Gunnar made his way to the stairwell, I saw a butler escorting Hale toward Mom's room. I waved him over, though his eyes were on my dismissed suitor as they passed.
What was Gunnar doing up here?
He asked. Making a choice. Come with me. I need your hands. Chapter 9. I came out of Mom's closet wearing our top pick, pressing it to my chest to save my modesty.
Thank you for doing this, I said as Hale went to work, pulling at seams and pinning them in place.
Are you kidding? I'm helping dress my future queen right now. I'm over the moon.
He pulled some more, watching the way the fabric reacted in the mirror.
Of course, it's not the same as building you a gown from scratch, but this will be an impressive addition to my resume.
I chuckled. I just feel bad you have to give up your afternoon for this.
Well, it gets kind of boring in the men's parlor. I'm sure if I ask Kyle, he'll come and sit with me while I work. Or Ian, maybe.
Ian? I said, shocked. It's hard to imagine him willingly joining anyone anywhere. Hale smiled.
Yeah, I think he's finally getting used to us. He talks to me sometimes, and to Eric, probably because he's not competition.
That makes sense. Ian seems like the not-here-to-make-friends type, but I don't think anyone could go through this without getting close to someone. It's too hard. As difficult as it is for me, I know it's just as bad for you all.
We definitely get the better end of the deal, though,
he said, winking at my reflection. I tilted my head. I don't know about that. The more I think about it, the sadder I get about having to send all but one of you away. I'll miss having you here.
Have you considered a harem? He said, deadpan.
I bent over in laughter and was rewarded with a pin stabbing my waist.
Ow!
Sorry, I shouldn't joke when there are needles around.
He walked in front of me and I held still, watching his eyes, recognizing the analytical gaze, knowing I did the same thing myself to designs and proposals and sometimes even to people.
I think we need to streamline this a little. Are you sure this is absolutely okay with the Queen? Because some of these cuts I can't undo.
Don't worry. You have full permission to tweak in any way you deem necessary.
That makes me feel so important.
Well, you are. You're helping me look like a leader tonight. It takes 1,000 little things to make this role work, so I owe you one. Or two. At least two.
You all right?
I looked up, not realizing how somber I'd gotten. Yes, it's just a lot to deal with sometimes. I'm trying to hold it together, that's all. Hale pulled a pin from the pile the maid had left us and held it up for me.
Use this next time you feel like things are falling apart. It'll help, I promise.
Slowly I took it, spinning it between my finger and thumb, and at least for a moment, I believed it was true. Henry was right on time, rushing into the parlor as if he'd been dying to run down for the last 15 minutes. He bypassed ceremony as he held my hands and kissed my cheek, making me laugh.
Hello, today?
I smiled. Hello, Henry. Over Henry's shoulder, Eric bowed and I gave him a nod. I took Henry's arm and led him to the table, laid with two settings fairly close together, and a third slightly distanced.
Here,
Henry said, pulling out my chair. Once I was seated, he eagerly ran around the table to sit across from me. And the conversation drew to an abrupt halt. I pulled the cover off my plate so they would know they could do the same, and after a few silent bites, I worked to bridge the gap. How's your family? I asked. And your sister?
Mitin on Annika?
He said, turning to Eric for confirmation. He nodded and Henry returned to me, delighted.
Good. She very good. We miss.
I gave him a sad look and nodded. I understand completely. You have no idea how much I wish Aaron was here. He kept his expression calm but leaned over to Eric, who muttered a translation of my answer as quickly as he could.
Your mom is good,
Henry said, trying so hard.
Yes, thank goodness. Heading back to her room right now and recovering nicely.
Once again, Eric came to our rescue.
We went back and forth in the same way for a few more minutes, and even with all the effort he'd been putting into learning English, Henry was as lost as I was.
I hated this. It was too impersonal. It was one thing to need a translator for a visiting dignitary, but for someone who was in my home daily, it felt like too much.
Even if Henry's time in the palace was short-lived, I really wanted to be able to speak with him, just him, at least from time to time.
Eric, how does Henry do with the other elite? Do they all speak through you?
He sat taller, taking this in.
Mostly. Hale and Kyle have picked up a few words.
And the others?
He pursed his lips, looking guilty as if he was worried he'd sully the reputation of the others.
Gunnar has been marginally interested, as is Fox, but they don't appear to want to take on the challenge. It's a lot of work. And Ian will speak with me, but doesn't really try to speak with Henry.
I let out a long sigh, several thoughts flitting through my head.
Would you be up to giving us all a little Finnish lesson tomorrow morning?
Eric raised his eyebrows.
Really?
Absolutely. It seems unfair that Henry has to do all the work.
As I said his name, Henry's eyes darted over to me. He was certainly following our conversation in his own way, but I was excited for him to discover exactly what